Exodus chapter 15. Chapter 15. Please look at verse 23, and we'll read from verse 23 and up through verse 25. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Now notice this verse. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" In a moment we'll pray. I know that this is a compromise. I really like bittersweet chocolate. Now you notice, bitter, sweet. Which is it? Well, it's both. I really like that, but I know that's a compromise. You know, if you mix bitter and you mix sweet, well, you know. But I still like it. And I want you to think with me tonight in particular about this body of water where the people of Israel have followed Moses. Moses has followed God. Now remember, there has been the leadership of Almighty God in the life of Moses to lead the people the distances that they have come. I think of the songwriter that wrote, "Our God knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow." You know, that truth is a wonderful truth. All I have to do is follow. I want us to think tonight about this matter of bitter, sweet. Because this particular passage and these two verses have far more to say than ordinarily we might think. You have to think about the background. You have to think about the present conditions that they were facing right then. But it is an amazing kind of thing when you really examine it. And here's the thing. There is a lesson. Our Lord can take the bitter experiences of life and make them sweet. Let's go back and say that once more. You know that one of the major problems in our churches today, you know what it is? Bitterness. That's what it is. You would think it would be a number of other things, but no. This is at the top of the list all across America in good churches. Bitterness. So once again, our Lord can take the bitter experiences and make them sweet. Now we'll pray. Brother Ken, will you take the microphone and will you pray?
Our Father, we thank you and praise you for the privilege and honor to be here tonight. Lord, I thank you for each and every one that has made the special effort to be here. Lord, we know that some couldn't make it because of the weather, and Lord, we can't blame them. And Lord, we do thank you for those that were. Now, Lord, we pray for Pastor Crabtree tonight as you speak to us through this man and through these scriptures. Lord, I thank and praise you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paul, he told the Romans that the Old Testament account, the Old Testament records, were written for your learning, and that's Romans 15 and verse 4. Is it not on?
No, the batteries are dead.
Oh, listen.
Let me trade you out.
What a serious thing this is.
I'll just...
There we go.
Trade you out.
Okay.
hook that back on there for
you. Can you do that?
I can.
Okay.
I think I can.
It's tough. That wire is so tight.
It is very tight.
Of course, if I weren't so fat, it would make it easier, too. Thank you very much, brother. Okay. Paul told the Romans the Old Testament records were written for their learning, for our learning, Romans 15:4. And then he told the Corinthians that they are written for our admonition, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. So this book, this Bible, this Word of God, this is a lamp and it's a light. Now keep in mind, we're going to talk tonight particularly about bitterness. In my heart and in my life, I must be right if I am not a problem to the body. Now, don't miss that. You heard a message on Sunday that particularly pointed this out. If you're not right, I mean, for whatever reason there may be, if you're not right, you are a problem to the body. So what does that mean? It means that one person out of order with God is a problem to the body and the church that the Savior said He would build. Now that's what that means. And so this book, Lamp, Light, and the instructions of this book are perfect. There's not one thing wrong with the instructions in this Bible. Nothing wrong. So, in the first place, there is a purpose from God when it comes to everything in your life. Now, I'm talking about the saved. Whatever occurs per day, per year, there is a purpose because God is in charge. And He misses nothing. Nothing. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Yeah. And so in His perfection, in His view, in His guidance, in what He offers, in the leadership, there was no mistake made in the leadership of the people of God across and all through the 40 years. No mistake at all. Moses was the human leader that the people could see. God was the leader that the people couldn't see. And so God is leading Moses. Moses is leading the people. And it's very important that Moses be right with God, even though in that amount of 2 million people, you know for sure there were some folks not right. That's a fact. You take our assembly when you come on Sunday morning. Sure enough, sure as anything, we don't know who they are. We don't know. But some folks are not right. You say, how would you know? Because they bypass purposely some people and they don't speak. Would you please tell me, is that right? Now, I'm not talking about not seeing them. I'm talking about seeing them, knowing them, passing by them and saying nothing because they refuse to say anything to them. Asking a question, is that right? Excuse me, is that right? No, it's not right. Okay, now keep that in mind. So God in His wonderful way has a purpose in my life, has a purpose in the people that He put under Moses' leadership. Proverbs 14:10, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Life is not just a frolic. It's serious life. There can be fun, but it's serious. It's not a hop, skip, jump, between birth and death. No, no, it is not. It's a training period. It's a schooling. You go to school under the direction of the teacher who is perfect, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, keep this in mind. Every time that the Holy Spirit whispers to you in a still, small voice, in direction, the most serious thing that I could possibly do is pay no attention to His persuasive power and His direction when He also is perfect in the steps that I take, endeavoring to honor and glorify God. So I must pay close attention to the teacher. So I'm going to school, and life has its way of taking us into the classroom and giving us the instructions, and we'll cover some of those guidelines later when it comes to the instruction that takes place for every child of God. So when you and I have trouble, if you just look around, you recognize you're not the only one. How could it be otherwise when we live in a world that hates God? That is not a radical or untrue statement. This world system hates Jesus Christ. They hate God. All you have to do is take a view of the present political arena to realize it. We're facing issues under the direction of those that are under the guidance of the devil, that hover and work and do all kinds of things to disrupt, with their effort in mind to keep God from accomplishing His will. But may I tell you, there ain't no way. He will have His way. And so you have the peace of God because you're saved. You have your Bible, the love letter, the work manual, the breath of God. You have your teacher, the Holy Spirit. You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You will find it, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 13. So, the fact is, God has a purpose in my life, individually. God has a purpose since I'm a part of the body of Christ in this church. But He has a purpose for me individually when I'm here and when I'm not here. And He does for you. No matter what age you are, there is that directive always going on that lives within you since you were saved to guide you into all truth. Brother Ken, you know, I think I'm finally, maybe, learning at this age that I better pay attention. What do you think? Just as the student is to pay attention to the teacher in the classroom, it is even far more important that I pay attention to the teacher that lives within me. Amen. And do you know what He teaches me? The perfect book of instructions. That's what He teaches me. His direction is based on the truth of the Word of God. And He never varies. He never varies. Every moment of your life under the direction of the Spirit of God is to be one where you very carefully pay such close attention to Him so that you do not willingly make any missteps. Huh? You see, if you willingly follow the direction. Now, we're not talking about perfection. But we are talking about intention. And when you intend it, and intend it, and intend it, you are going to be a whole lot more better accomplished than if you don't intend it. When I live and get up in the morning, the first step I take ought to be one under the direction of the Spirit of God. Amen? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, what happened to God's people? It was not by accident. God led them to Marah. He led them forth by the right way, Psalm 107:7. And for the child, hear me, the child of God, there is nothing without purpose and meaning. There is nothing without purpose and meaning. And the only exception to that is sin. For the child of God, there is nothing without purpose and without meaning. So God told God's people, Moses told God's people, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no. Deuteronomy 8:2. And so therefore, what a difference between battle-tested veterans and green troops. There's a great deal of difference. Those who've been tested, they've learned what to and what not to do. And they're very careful about all that they're supposed to do. And so, what I am as I grow older, I ought be a battle-tested veteran. Therefore, it is more important at this point in my life for me to recognize the leadership and power of the Spirit of God in my life than it was when I was 16 or 18 years old. The longer you live, the more you ought to know. I'm talking about the right things now. And the longer the people wandered in the wilderness, the more they should have known had they just been paying close attention to the leadership of God through the man Moses. So, the purpose of God is growth and development. You know what that translates to? Experience. Yeah, it translates to experience. The lessons and the classrooms that I go through, it varies. I mean, it's the shaping of my life. It's the shaping of my spirit and my mind and my body. Listen, you and I were created, hear me, we were created to be victorious, not failures. You were created to be victorious. And under the direction of the Spirit of God, you pay attention and you obey, and you don't get into the mud hole. Your steps are straight. You stay on the straight and narrow way. You don't get over here on the slippery slope. Pastor refers to it as soft little choices. You don't get over here on the slippery slope. Instead, you walk straight and narrow. You follow the direction of the Spirit of God, and you're so thankful at the end of each day for the guidance and the truth that you have been given and that God has kept you, and He's kept you from the filth of a dirty world under the direction of the devil. So you love Him, He loves you, and you love Him because He first loved you. And then your love that you have, it ought not wane. It ought grow. It ought to be greater and greater as the days go by. I ought to love the Lord my God with all of my heart in such a way that it's far, far, far more than when I was 30 years old. Some folks, they're the same at 40 that they were at 20. Now, I'm not talking about not being saved. They're saved. But the lack of growth and the lack of paying attention and the lack of and the purpose in their own lives of to take little liberties here and there where they ought not. And they know when they do it. Anybody knows when you take a liberty and you shouldn't. You know that. How do you know? Because the Spirit of God whispers to you and says, no, no, no. And when you do right, He says, yes, yes, yes. And you go to bed at night and you put your head on the pillow and you sleep in peace because you have followed the direction of the Savior that day. And anything that you sense that's wrong, you confess it to Him before you go to sleep so that in the morning when you get up, you'll have a good night's rest and you'll be ready to face a new day and live for the glory of God. That's the intention of God. And so I want to be careful that I obey the truth. Because here's a fact. We'll only continue to be the land of the free as we also are the land of the brave. Did you get that? If it's not the land of the brave, you lose the fact that it's land of the free. And so we must be very careful. Those two things are inseparable. They go together. So there's a purpose on the part of God for Israel and for the people of God today. But secondly, there's a peril. There's a purpose, and there's a peril. And you and I must be aware of the peril. And you say, what is it? Well, there is a tendency in our lives when the circumstances are difficult, there's a tendency to react immediately in a way that is expressed by murmuring. It's called griping. It's called a spirit of discontent. And these people of God, they found fault with God and found fault with Moses. And they murmured. They griped. When my wife and I and Malia were at Bob Jones, Dr. Bob Sr. established some certain thoughts and they hanged them in the classrooms on placards of wood. And one of those statements that we lived by was this: griping, not tolerated, constructive suggestion appreciated. Now, that's pretty good. And these people murmured. You understand that that's twice their myrrh. Oh, yeah. That's not single. That's myrrh. See, God's people griped the peril. They griped and they complained to Moses. And that was the leader. And he became the convenient target that they found fault with. And that just proves man's inherited nature and what it lacks. You see, it's tainted. Born in sin, your nature is tainted. And the word murmur is made up of those two sounds. And we murmur instead of trusting God. If I live by Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I won't murmur. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 1, 2, 3, 4. The first three, the child of God must do that. God's not going to do that for you. You are responsible. Trust in the Lord with all. Just rest your case on God. Just rest your case. And when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, that's number one, you're doing it. And then in all thy ways acknowledge him, and that's number two, and that's what you're doing. When you do that, 1, 2, 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, then when you have done the first three given, then God steps in and he does the fourth, and you can't do the fourth, and he won't do the first three for you. And so if I do that, there'll be no room for murmuring. Huh? Hello, class. No. You won't gripe if you do Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. No. None of it would. See, you know, we act like babies. Something goes wrong, and suddenly we have the wah-wah. And you know, anybody knows that when a baby has the wah-wah, it upsets the whole household. Huh? Yeah, right. And so, when I get the wah-wahs, I upset the assembly, and upset my wife, and upset the household in which we live. Because I have the wah-wahs. Well, no need. But our reactive spirit, when things don't go our way, we tend to do that. You know what that is? That's mutiny in the bounty. I know you're familiar with mutiny on the bounty. No. This is mutiny in the bounty because it's God-given bounty that He offers us every day. And that I should gripe? And that I should complain? That I should murmur? That I should get the wah-wahs? No! And therefore, in the previous scene, prior to this passage that we're looking at, you know what you'll find? You'll find Miriam. And she's leading God's people in a dynamic song service. Oh yes! Honoring Almighty God for what He's done. I mean, filled with joy and praise and expressing themselves in music and dance. And Miriam urged them by saying, "Sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." Exodus 15:21. And the Red Sea had been a tremendous victory. That's prior to what we're looking at now. And Paul refers to this matter of the people now, the same people, murmuring. They've just gotten through singing praise to Almighty God, and now they're finding fault with God and Moses because the water's bitter. Who's in charge? Moses isn't in charge. God is. So what do? You trust God. You come back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And so, according to Acts 13, verses 17 and 18, there's a message that Paul uses, and he says that the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with high arm brought them out of it. And about the time of the 40 years suffered He their manners in the wilderness. I mean, folks, listen, you talk about bad manners. Boy, I mean, they really exerted their bad, bad manners. And the people acted spoiled and they were belligerent children. Do you know that unbelief makes us act that way? Do you know that? Oh yeah, that's what causes it, unbelief. You choose to believe God for every step of the way. You choose to obey the Spirit of God about the direction that He gives. And you will sing with a heart of joy even if you can't sing. Oh yeah. I mean, you won't be able to keep it in. You'll feel like, properly speaking now, you'll feel like dancing everywhere you go for the glory of God. So we look at a situation instead of looking at the Savior. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." See, God never begins what He doesn't finish. You listening? He never begins. So, my wife's favorite verse, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He never fails. And it doesn't matter about your ability. It doesn't matter about your intellect. God never fails. And what He starts, He finishes. And so, as He in the classroom teaches me, and I do what He says, then I can experience what the Word of God calls growing in grace. That's what it is. See, Paul said that Abraham's faith in God was being fully persuaded. Did you get that? Being fully persuaded. And that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Romans 4:21. See, that conviction that takes the baby out of us, that takes the wah-wah out of us, that conviction, that removes the murmuring. Oh, yeah. That removes the murmuring. See, the fact is, you know this, but the ship won't sink as long as the Savior is in it. And you're there, and He's there. You're in Him, and He's in you. And it's an eternal relationship. Never quits, never gives up. And so there is a purpose. There is a peril. But then there is a precept. Meaning the right way. The right way to handle bitter experiences. And the right way is expressed in one word. Are you ready? The right way is expressed in one word. What is it? Pray. That's it. Pray. That's why Pastor makes so much to do about the men's prayer advance. Pray. 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 The next time you're feeling bitter, find a place and go to God and just stretch yourself out on your face before God. That's what Abraham did. See, Abraham stretched himself out and listened while God was on the throne speaking. That's the key. Pray. Pray. Whatever time it takes. Don't let somebody else place their system of rules on you. You go to God and you pray. And if you'll do it, God will wash away the bitterness. And we need desperately to always have that bitterness washed away. See, you go to God and you go quickly there. That's what Moses did. That's what he did. He didn't debate with the people. That's what a lot of folks do. No. He didn't debate with the people. He simply went to God. He went straight to God. He committed the whole matter to God. Simply, he said, God, this is your business. This is. And I'm just your representative. What will you do about this? That's what he did. This is like the pilot who seeks guidance from the tower. I mean, you place all of your trust in the one who makes no mistake. Therefore, you're asking, you're praying, you're asking for what you need, and then God intends to give it. Because you see, Moses, he didn't panic. He didn't resign. He knew where to go for help. I mean, David knew where to go. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present in trouble. Psalm 46, 1. See, God's word is filled with examples. There is a purpose and there is a peril. And God's word is just absolutely filled with the right way, the precept. Take Hannah. She had a terribly bitter experience. She had been childless and was ridiculed by a more fortunate woman, 1 Samuel 1 and verse 6. What did she do? She prayed. She went to God, and God met her and solved the problem. Hezekiah, he had the experience of bitterness and an anti-God threat by a huge army. And he said, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there is not strength for them to bring forth. 2 Kings 19:3. So what did he do? He went to God and prayed. Again and again and again. That's what these people of God did. They went to God and they prayed. And he went up to the house of God and he spread that document out in front of Almighty God. And the Lord, 2 Kings 19:14, and the Lord God delivered Judah according to verses 32, 34, and 36. It would seem like to me, would it not seem like this to you, that the thing to do is pray? So Daniel, he experienced bitterness. I mean, when you examine his life, when you examine what happened, I mean, he was framed. He was misquoted. He was ignored. And he was threatened. What did he do? He prayed three times daily. He prayed. And God solved the problem. Daniel 6:10, verses 26 and through 29. For Peter, he was in prison. What did the people do? Prayed. They prayed. And God delivered Peter from the prison. So you have a purpose. You have a peril. You have a precept. But you also have a provision. That tree that God directed Moses to cast into the body of bitter water. What did it do? It made the water sweet. That's what it did. So that the people could drink it. That tree turned the bitter sweet. May I tell you something tonight? There is one tree on earth that bears a fruit most precious. More precious than any other. It's the old rugged cross. That's the tree. And its fruit is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jeremiah 23:5 calls him the righteous branch. And Peter said that Christ bare our sins in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter 2:24. May I tell you something here in closing? Bitterness disappears in the Lord Jesus. That's true for a person who's not saved and comes and gets saved. But that's true for the person who is saved and is bitter. Men like Wycliffe, Thomas Cranmer, John Huss, they sang praises as the flames scorched their body. If you're bitter, get alone with God. Just tell Jesus. And just spend as long as you need to. And He, the Savior, will listen. Are you listening? Amen. He will listen. And my friend, you had better listen. Not just here, but when you go to Him and He listens, you better listen. Without Jesus, there is nothing to drink. There's no satisfaction. There's no victory. You face the tree and you will see that He cares about you more than you will ever know. And that tree is the turning point of history. And that tree brings sweetness to all who will come to Jesus and receive Him. There's a purpose. There's a peril. There's a precept. There's a provision. Bitterness washed away. Sweetness in its place. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Is it black with sin? Has Christ come within? Has He come within to stay? People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you. And He sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. No more bitterness. Only sweetness. Because you go to God and pray. Shall we pray? Our Father, we are so blessed I look around here tonight, and I see these dear friends of mine. And I am blessed to be in their presence. And we are blessed to be in your presence. And may we get to the place in our thinking, in our living, so that each one of us, we are blessed in each other's presence. It doesn't, Lord, it doesn't matter about our infractions, since we're all weak, if we're determined to live Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And oh, what a wonder. As we live and go to you, and then because of the way that you deal with us in schooling us and teaching us, that we come from the classroom and we express what we've learned to each other. May we really do that. And if we would, and we should, it would be such a blessing to our pastor. It would. But it would be such a blessing to each other. And some of the fracases that go on in homes would no longer be so. And the sweetness that is produced because we're delivered from the bitterness would cause us to join hands as a group and reach the lost and be a blessing to the saved and be an encouragement to our pastor and to the deacons and to others who hold some position of responsibility. And to recognize that the faith promise would abound. And all kinds of missionaries that we support on the field would be so blessed that they would sing the Hallelujah Chorus. Could that be so? Yes, it could. Help us, Lord. Help us.